For this segment of Tech Talk with Johnson College, Dr. Katie Leonard hosts Daryl Jane, General Manager at Gibbons Ford, where they discuss how the unique partnership of Ford manufacturers and dealership helped to influence the long-standing, trusted, built Ford tough brand that we recognize today.
So as I'm recording this, we are into our eighth week of classes here at Johnson College, more than halfway through the semester, and still reporting no positive COVID cases. I want to take this opportunity to first say a very special thank you to our campus community. That includes students, our faculty and staff, alumni, board members, our industry partners, visitors to campus, because without all of us working together, I know this would not be possible. We definitely take our shared responsibility seriously here. I'm very grateful for that. And I just want to give a big shout out and thank everyone for keeping each other healthy and safe. So last month, as I reflected on the times we're living in, especially COVID, I made a special request of all of you listening, and I realized something. I like making special requests of all of you. I like that I can use this forum to hopefully spread a little cheer to each of you and also get you thinking a little differently. So I decided to do it again. So this month, I have another special request for all of you. And that is to think about what you value. This is something I've been thinking a lot about recently, especially through these COVID times. I've realized how much I value face-to-face interactions with other human beings. Yes, I understand that right now we need to stay safe, we need to stay masked, we need to stay distanced, but that doesn't lessen how much value I place on true human interaction. I'm one of those people, you know, you'll see me out at, you know, in line at the coffee shop, and I love those sort of brief encounters that you get when you meet people and you have something in common. Or, you know, I'm also one of those people where you might see me every single day and I still want to hug you when I see you, and I want to hold on to you because I value our connection, and it's always genuine, and I've come to realize I really miss that. And I know we're gaining a lot through this pandemic. We're certainly learning a lot about ourselves and learning new ways to innovate and work smarter, but we're still missing things. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that, and it's okay to say that we miss things. There is a sense of loss here that I think sometimes we all just need to take a step back and recognize. And again, it reminds us to remember our values and hold on to them as much as we can, because when we live our values, we're not just better for ourselves, but for those around us. I feel it does wonders for our mental state. So if you're feeling down through all this or missing things, try to remember what you value and then try to create it in a new way. I know for some people, that means, you know, creating this through Zoom meetings or FaceTiming more. But for some of us, we may be zoomed out, and you might need to create it in different ways. But whatever it is, try to figure it out and then do it simply because it's what you need. And don't be afraid of this. And like I shared last month, we're all just trying to figure out ways to get through these crazy times. And I firmly believe if you can get a sense of what you value and actually jot it down and think about what you need, the two will align. And then it becomes easy to figure out how to get more of what you value into your life. As I mentioned, I value face-to-face interactions. It's one of the reasons I enjoy doing this podcast so much. So I know at least one time each month I get to spend time masked, of course, but face-to-face with people I genuinely enjoy and learn from. This month is no exception, of course. My guest is Mr. Daryl Jane, the general manager of Gibbons Ford. We talk about the impact that COVID has had on the auto industry, how mentorship influences the work experience, the importance of soft skills in the working world. And of course, I ask, when am I going to get my very own Shelby Mustang? So I hope you enjoy, I hope you learn something, and I hope above all else over the next month, you do more of what you value. Thank you for listening. Well, hi, Daryl. Thanks so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure, Katie.
So I want to start off with a really important question. This might be the most important question that you answer
Good.
In this entire interview. So as you know, we recently purchased a vehicle from Gibbons Ford, and it was a Ford Escape. It's wonderful. It's wrapped. It looks awesome in the Johnson colors. But I have to ask, when do I get my Shelby?
I think that's on the next order.
Okay. So did they talk to you about that?
I will call you the moment it comes in.
Thank you. Because I kind of want to start there and, you know, discuss, you know, the mystique behind the Ford brands. You guys have such a history, you know, not just in this area, but just, you know, Ford internationally. And, you know, everybody knows the saying, like, built for tough and what that means. You know, recently got to see the Ford versus Ferrari film. So could you just talk a little bit about that? Just, you know, big picture, from your perspective, what, like, the Ford brand means to people?
I think a lot of that comes from the founder. I think when you're told that you can't do, you can't do, you can't do, and you reach down and say, but I can, I think that's the breed from the origin for him to handle things that he handled and find the right people to see his vision and to pursue it and not be turned away. I think that made a big difference with him and with a lot of people that then became very close with him and worked with him. And I think it was something that continued of just finding the right people to do the job that he wanted done. But it's history.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the opportunity to be in Detroit. Gosh, I think it's like 3 or 4 years ago now. And I couldn't wait to get to Detroit again, just like the whole sort of like the history, like you say,
sure,
of the, you know, the car dealerships there. And again, just, you know, when you think of Ford, you think of that like trusted brand, you think of, I think, racing, you know, again, I'm
absolutely
a huge, Mustang gal. So,
sure,
you know, when I watch the races, those are the cars that I gravitate towards. So could you talk a little bit too about the relationship between like the Ford Motor Company and then the dealerships?
Well, I think that's always been a manufacturer versus dealer. It sort of became a partnership. And I think for the most part, it has been a partnership. There's obviously things that they do that we are not always to our benefit. But as a big picture, they have to do what they have to do. Likewise, we do as well. But I think Ford has a very, very good relationship with their dealers. I think they try very, very hard. Their field staff are probably second to none from the financial side, from their parts and service side. They really have people that are dedicated to what they do. So that's always been a pleasure with that. But it's not always going to be exactly the way you want it to be. You want what you want when you want it. And unfortunately, it can't always be that way. So you have to sit back and say, that's a good decision on their part. We just have to work through it.
Yeah.
But I think most manufacturers are trying to see that from a dealer side. When they don't, it becomes an issue. But by and large, most do.
Yeah. So it sounds like it comes down to two themes, just, you know, with the way in which that, like, the flow of our conversation is going here. It sounds like, you know, leadership is very important, and then partnership, sort of that sense of we're in this
Correct.
Together.
Correct.
And how do you, from your perspective, because I know you've been, you know, in the industry for over 40 years now, how do you see those two intersecting, and even through tough times, right? We all, you know, go through tough time. Ford certainly, and some of this, you know, plays out more publicly than, you know, we would like sometimes. But how do you see that intersection of leadership and partnership, and how Ford has dealt with that over the years?
Well, I think originally and earlier years, I would say that it was probably more difficult for dealers because it was a because I said so mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the dealer body and the manufacturers started to realize that no longer can it be that way. We need to explain our position. We need to show them why we're doing what we're doing, and hopefully it makes sense to them. And I think when you get into those situations where the decisions are made, you've got to understand that they have expenses, you have expenses, and you have to make the decisions that are best for your store when they're making the decisions for the body. So it is difficult, but it has changed dramatically. At one time, like I said, it was a, this is the way we're doing it, and don't bother asking any questions because we're not going to change our mind. Now, they're still not as flexible as we may like them to be, but there certainly is open conversation.
Well, that's great, because I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of this comes down to communication, and that's something we stress to our students all the time, whether you're on the technical side like our students, or you know, you're more on the management leadership side. You have to be able to communicate and be as honest as you possibly can, because you know, you're dealing with customers. So how, you know, how would you, from your perspective, how important are those communication skills?
Well, I'll give you a quick story. In our store, we have a what they call a policy, and it's basically an account that we charge things to when we try to satisfy a customer for whatever the reason may be. We broke something, they said they didn't want something, whatever the case may have been. But I review every one of those as they come through. Some of them are for $200, some of them are for $20, some of them are for $2,000. 95% or more is strictly communication. It's nothing more than communicating with the service tech, with the service writer, with the customer. Miscommunication costs us more money than poor workmanship.
Yeah.
It always has, and it always will. So I think that's one of the things that we stress more at our dealership than anything is communication.
Yeah, that's interesting. We stress that to our students too, and we say, you know, you got to be able to tell that story to a customer, especially if someone's coming in angry. You have the ability and the power to be able to calm that person and say, your vehicle's going to be okay. You know, in some cases, they're dealing directly with humans, so, you know, they said, like, don't worry, your loved one's going to be okay.
Empathy is what's necessary in our, especially on the service writer side, the person who's seeing the customer for the first time. You don't know what that customer has gone through that week or that day.
Yeah.
The idea is to be empathetic the minute they walk through the door. You don't know what kind of news they got this morning. They could have lost a dog last night,
right,
and it could have been something that they've had for 15, 20 years, but that's already put them in a mood that's put them in a very sensitive level. So empathy is as important as sympathy and getting the job done. But it's a people business,
mm-hmm,
and that's what's always been fun about it.
Yeah, it's so interesting, especially during these COVID times. I think we're like losing that perspective a little bit, that this is still, all of this still comes down to relationships and people in the way in which we treat each other. I don't care if you're, you know, on Zoom and, you know, trying to make eye contact with someone, or you're sitting, you know, here, you know, trying to, you know, build some type of relationship. It all comes down to people and how we treat each other. So how, like, what would your advice to students be? How, you know, how do you emphasize that? Because I know we've had a long-standing relationship with Gibbons Ford. We so appreciate it. It's been, you know, focused on the technical, but also you guys have been so good about stressing those soft skills to the students. As you mentioned, the empathy, and like, don't forget there's, you know, a human, this isn't just someone's, you know, vehicle. There is a human being that cares about this vehicle and that drives this vehicle. So we need to keep it safe. So what would you say to students?
Well, most of our relationships that we've been fortunate enough to have with Johnson College, bringing the students to our store, have been very good, because most have been technicians, but a few that have come through have wanted to start as the service writer and then progress to the technician side. And for the most part, it's actually been rather easy. I get a kick out of it because I didn't have children. So a lot of these students that come to our store get a semi-adoption from me. So it's sort
great.
Of like I can bust on their chops a little bit and have some fun.
Sure.
But I also have a tendency to remind them when they're bringing a vehicle in, hey, remember, that could be your car, and you know what you think about your car. So do me a favor, make sure you take care of that car the same way you take care of your car. And it's more of that than it is, you know, sitting them down and trying to teach them something.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see what the experience is. They want to do pretty much their own thing. But when they see that it's done differently and it's working to their benefit, they've come a long way.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of fun to sit back and see them, you know, when you're that much older than everybody at the store and you walk through it, and first couple of times you walk through, sort of nobody says anything. And then all of a sudden, when you start to get a little bit chummier with them, and all of a sudden you start busting on them a little bit and you start having a little bit of fun, they start to respond to that. So there's some positive reinforcement as opposed to the negative. And we really have had a wonderful time with the students.
That's great.
Very few incidents where we've said, you know what, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah.
But they're good kids.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that, you know, nothing says real world more than the kinds of experiences they get at places like Ibn's Ford. And we like to say, you know, we take a step back and say, well, we're not just developing a skilled technician here. Certainly we are, but we like to say we're really helping to develop the most well-rounded technician that anyone is going to find anywhere. So, you know, to your point, it really takes those, you know, definitely those technical skills, which we work together to teach, but also the critical importance of those soft skills.
We see a big difference now versus years ago with the student technician today. Unfortunately, years and years ago, when I first got into the business, the people that were technicians were because they weren't quote unquote suited for college according to their high school individuals guiding them. And it's ironic because one of the first conversations I had with a technician back when I was probably 20 or 21 years old, he was the smartest, sharpest individual I had ever met in my life. He could do two cars at one time. He still, to this day, is still turning a wrench, and one of the sharpest people I've ever met. But that generation didn't have the confidence that they should have been allotted. Unfortunately, they were forced into a profession. It's nice to see the kids that are coming through today that have chosen this.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone knows that you can't do very well at something if you don't choose to do it. If you don't know why you're doing it and you haven't chosen to do it, you're not going to be very good at it. But these kids that come through today, you can have a real-world conversation with them in a lot of ways. Whether it be political, whether it be financial, they have a pretty good handle on things. And it's fun to see that they've chosen this field.
Yeah.
And I used to ask the technician I was referring to, Jimmy, you're as good and as sharp as I've ever seen. Why do technicians feel so down about themselves?
Yes.
And he said, to be honest with you, most of us didn't want to be here.
Hmm.
But we weren't qualified to do anything else. I just, for those guys that have taken us to where we are, they deserve a round of applause on a regular basis because they did it when it wasn't popular.
Yeah.
Now, you've got kids that are coming through that before they even touch the car, they're going to their computer and they've got a pretty good source of which direction they're going before they get there.
Yeah.
In the earlier days, it wasn't. A lot of the earlier days, it was, you had to sit and think it through.
Oh, yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah, and troubleshoot, like know how to troubleshoot.
Absolutely.
And the way that you would approach that problem with the car is going to be completely different than maybe another technician.
Which I think is what makes it fun to watch when you see some of our more senior techs take some of these younger kids and put them side by side.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because the kids that only have the 1 year or 2 year experience, all of a sudden they're maybe one page or two pages ahead of the senior tech. But it's nice to see the senior tech says, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
We can try that and it saves me some time.
Yeah. That's great. You know, you bring up a great point about mentorship. I know that's something we've talked, you know, with all of you about. And I think that's what makes the partnership between Johnson College and Gibbons, like, just so impactful, because you make sure that some of, like, our younger technicians are paired with a more seasoned technician. And as you said, it just changes a student's entire perspective, because, like, we have the most awesome, like, faculty, and the students are learning the foundation here. But then again, once they're in a real world setting, they're like, hey, there is more than one way to approach this problem.
Absolutely.
And I always say, like, we produce the most skilled troubleshooters around because of the partnerships we have with industry.
That's good.
And they get exposed to that.
They'll always be able to use it, that's for sure.
Oh my God, that's what I say. It's you know, kind of, again, using, you know, technical puns, but these are skills they put in their tool belt, and they'll be able to carry them no matter
where they go.
But you brought up something interesting too, that I love to talk about, because I noticed the same thing when I started here at Johnson College a little over 13 years ago, is that, you know, our older alumni, and even some of the current students then, they were almost down on themselves about, and almost, you know, not ashamed to talk about, like, the skills that they had, but not, you know, fully understanding that this is just as much of a critical skill set that they possess as somebody like me, who in my undergraduate, you know, I majored in English. You know, what does that qualify me to do? I could write my way out of anything, but how often do I have to do that?
Correct.
Would have, you know, a lot would have been a lot more handier if I had maybe learned to weld, or, you know, like, wire or learn to fix,
true.
You know, fix my own car, which my dad did teach me at a young age, but the basics. But it's something that was very important to me when I started here. I started in a fundraising and a marketing role. I got out to visit alumni, you know, started talking to them. And, you know, once, like, we started to reframe it and change the language, you just started to see alumni just light up and say, you know, like, do you know how valued you are out there? And they, you know, and it's just lost, and they're so humble, and they're, you know, to your point, many of them, like, they felt they did this because they had to. And now seeing some of the older alumni interact with some of, you know, the students today, or the younger alumni, where it is, it's, you know, the older alumni saying, well, I had to do this. And the younger alumni saying, you know, I wanted to do this. This is cool. This is, you know, and I think if there's anything that has brought this to light, fortunately or unfortunately, it's been COVID-19.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, this, you know, we were able basically to keep going, in large part because of our industry partners. You know, while campus had to close, you all, once kind of things settled down a little bit, opened your doors, and students were able to complete, you know, their skills out at industry locations like Gibbons, and, you know, just keep going because, you know, you're an essential business. And I think it really drove home the fact just how critically important all of our majors are, because every single one of our majors was connected to a business that was considered essential. And, you know, I like to say, when the world stopped, like, we kept going, our students kept going, our alumni kept going. And the thing that struck me, I think, the most through all of this was when, you know, I would talk to our senior students, you know, they, like, yes, they were worried about their own health and safety, but I think they were worried about not being able to get in their skills so they can get out into the workforce. And they, you know, they really did understand, like, we are essential. We want to help. Like, we have the skills to be out there to keep the economy going, to keep the country going. I was just floored by how serious they took that responsibility. And, you know, and we're just so grateful to industry partners, you know, like Gibbons, that just helped us.
Ironically, it worked as well for us as it may have for you.
Yeah.
To have the essential label for the automotive industry from the parts and service side was very, very helpful. And truthfully, we would not have been able to do it without some of the students that we had and without our staff to make that difference. But it was very interesting to see they finally, as to your point, that they had saw themselves as essential. And I think that is something that is imperative that they hold on to, and realize that it's something to be very proud of.
Yeah.
So hopefully going forward, it's the type of education that they learn both on campus and off campus that it doesn't matter what you do in life. It doesn't matter what you wear to work. It basically matters how you do it and how proudly you do it.
That's right.
So hopefully they learn that in a very short period of time.
Yes, I think they are. So, you know, talking about COVID, so how did, you know, from your perspective, how did it affect the auto industry as a whole to begin with? And then how did it impact Gibbons?
Well, we were talking about it a little earlier. Unfortunately, when it hit, and so many of the manufacturers shut down, I think a lot of people didn't understand that both the manufacturer and their suppliers were shutting down. So despite the fact that it may be a Chevy, a Ford, a Toyota, a Dodge, whatever the product line may be, their suppliers are very similar. They may be getting windshields, they may be getting batteries, they may be getting tires, every manufacturer getting it from the same supplier. So when the suppliers shut down, as did all, and it was time to then gear back up, those suppliers could not react quickly enough to the manufacturers. So it basically, despite the fact that we were able to go back to selling automobiles, the supply wasn't there. We're now sitting at approximately 25% of our typical inventory. And despite the fact that the first 30 to 45, 60 days were very good because of pent-up demand and things of that nature, we knew obviously it was going to come to a screeching halt once you didn't have any more product.
Sure.
So every dealer has been in the same bucket, and we're just all just hoping that the product line kicks back into gear and we start to see some inventory soon, and that COVID is not going to necessarily beat us. We're going to respect it. We're going to do what we need to do for our clients and for our employees, but we still have to put our heads down and go to work.
So if I were to order that Shelby today, how long would it
You're probably looking at about 8 months.
Oh, wow. I better get on that.
I would certainly hope you would.
So how did it impact Gibbons specifically? Did you change hours? I know you guys really didn't miss a beat. I remember like talking to, you know, Ashley, you know, maybe, you know, kind of change things for a week or so, but then you guys were right back.
We actually did, the service side was given the essential label and parts. So we really never shut down service or parts. But the showroom had to be closed. And at that point, we had to decide how we were going to handle the influx of people when we were going to be able to have them. So we basically had to do just like many other retail stores and many other manufacturers did. We started putting in plexiglass, we started getting masks, started getting the hand sanitizers, and set up our online process so that people could purchase online and basically come in and be touchless with regards to picking up their automobile. We set it up in the delivery area. No one was allowed in the showroom. And we would just basically put the paperwork out for them to sign what they needed to sign, show them where the vehicle was at. And at that point, the only thing that we weren't doing was going through the vehicle with them and showing how things worked and what have you, because a lot of them were just very comfortable with, we'll handle it, we'll take it from here. And that was all there was to it. So we did have about a 45 to 60 day period where we sold nothing. And then obviously once we were able to open back up, things were a little different. We still are doing as prescribed. We have a large enough showroom that the areas are not crowded. So that we were very fortunate with. Our service department, as far as the waiting area, we've had to remove some chairs from there and place them in other areas of the showroom. Again, being fortunate to have that large of a showroom, we can pretty much move people around, so there's really not anyone within 6 to 10 feet of each other.
Yeah, that's great. And I feel like people have been really good just about like, hey, if we, you know, we want to get out there, we want to be interacting with each other, if this is what we need to do in terms of distancing and wearing masks, like then this is what we'll, you know,
we've had very few cases of individuals who didn't want to wear them. And that's been reaffirming for the fact that we're doing it.
And I think too, again, for our students, you know, before we were able to reopen the physical campus, they were already seeing a lot of this out at industry. So again, that was something we were grateful for. We modeled a lot of our reopening plan from feedback that we were getting from our industry partners, because they had been open or, you know, stayed open and, again, didn't miss a beat. So by the time the students came back here for their on-campus labs, they were already used to it. They were either like working themselves, or they were seeing how the business, you know, the industries that they were going to go into.
Real life experience.
Yeah. Again, like I always like, I've been joking about, well, we, you know, in our mission, we say we promise real world learning, and it really hasn't gotten
any more real than this.
But again, we just appreciate being able to sort of mirror a lot of what we do after the industries that we serve. So, you know, thanks for that too. So, you know, you touched upon something too a little earlier, and this kind of ties into the relationship that Gibbons Ford and Johnson College have had over the years, but that mentorship piece. So, you know, we started out with a very robust internship program. Our transportation division here at the college, which includes, you know, diesel truck technology, automotive technology, heavy equipment technology, logistics, we always pilot a lot of programs through that division of study, because we've had such great industry partners, you know, Gibbons Ford, Kenworth of Pennsylvania, Stadium International, just to name a few. But a lot of this started out as that internship program, but now it's grown, as I said, like it's really grown over the years. We have like now students completing even some of their lab work there. They get their task sheet. They work with the mentor at Gibbons. So again, going back from your perspective, how important do you see that? Because you see it playing out firsthand in the dealership.
First of all, it's extremely important, and I think whether it's the mentorship or the leadership, however you want to title it, it's all about getting those students to the right individual that can see that personality, that can work that particular personality. I've been very fortunate over my career. I haven't been very good at a lot of things, but one thing I am good at, I think, is finding the right people to do the right job. That, I think, is probably the most important thing. So there are technicians that we have as students that are very quiet and reserved individuals. And one comes to mind, and I'll say, well, are you sure that's the right person to put her with? Let's put her with so-and-so, because it's a softer delivery. It's a educational delivery. And yet you'll have someone who comes in who wants to be the quote-unquote rebel rouser, for lack of a better term, and he needs a little bit of a crack behind the ear, and you put them with the right guy. And I think that is imperative to keep that individual interested, because if they get paired opposite, all of a sudden that person is going home saying, boy, that mentor, that's not exactly who I was hoping for. And if we get it to a point where we think it's not working with that one, you know what? Let's flip it up.
Yeah.
Let's flip it up. Let's change it up a little bit and see if he or she will work better with Louis. Just the idea of maintaining and monitoring it is imperative. We look most of the students that come from Johnson have come to us primarily for our quick lane. But when they come to quick lane, it's not their stomping grounds. It's their starting zone. We look at it as our farm league. We look at that and say, we're not going to be able to go out and pull technicians off a tree. They don't grow on trees, and they are very difficult to find, because good technicians are usually taken care of by people that they work for. So they're not typically going to go anywhere. So the only place you're going to get them is to grow your own. So it's been a great marriage for us, because we see these technicians that have the desire, which is huge, to come in and start turning a wrench. Our job is to make sure that they're making the path to the quote-unquote main shop, a term I don't like at all. Mm-hmm. We have one shop, and unfortunately, the way it's looked at is quick lane and main shop. So needless to say, the students that come into quick lane, they're looking at the main shop, and you can see the twinkle in their eye of how do they get there.
Yeah.
That's what Ashley has done a phenomenal job with, is being able to channel them and say, here's our steps. Here's what we need to do. We just took another one just yesterday, moved him over to the main shop, and that's now is going to apprentice with our supervisor. So it's fun to see.
Yeah.
And you can tell you've been doing it too long when those are the kind of things you get excited about.
Oh, I know.
It's just fun to see it happen.
I know. Every time I'm over there, I don't want to leave because I see our students in action and our alumni thriving. And how does a relationship like this benefit Gibbons?
Well, I think the biggest benefit is, first of all, it's in our guides, we're looking at it from giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. But it then, in turn, it's good for us because hopefully if we do our job right, we can keep that technician. And we can have someone that's going to be long there after I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And have someone who's excited about what they do and excited about who they work for.
Yeah.
That's to us more important than anything. We've always had a mantra at our store that if you take care of your employees will take care of your customers.
Yeah.
So it's always been important to us to keep them as happy as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Within reason.
Right. Yeah, oh, I know. And I'll tell you, that mentorship piece is big. When, you know, we had a panel on campus a little over a year ago, and we asked students, you know, because I think sometimes there's this misconception, you know, students, you know, will jump for an extra, you know, 25 cents an hour, 50 cents an hour. But we asked students, like, what is most important to you? Because we get that all the time because, you know, good technicians and technologists are hard to find in every industry. We can't produce them fast enough. We hear it all the time,
mm-hmm.
Which is such a compliment to the college and our faculty and, you know, the quality of the students that we're producing. But, you know, two things that the students said is that they want to be able to, they're learning a valuable skill set here. And the first thing is they want to be able to apply those skills immediately, and they want a company to invest in them and not just